It is important to know and to claim what you believe. Our statement of faith for Easter Sunday is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. God's word for today is from John, the 20th chapter, the first 18 verses. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter, reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. This part of the worship service here at Daleville Christian Church is when we take a little time to look into God's Word, the Bible. I'm a minister, but I'm a minister of God's Word. We believe that these words in the Bible come from God, that God who created everything cares about us, and God who cares about us is trying to communicate with us. He uses His Word first. So I'm a minister, which means I'm here to apply the Word of God to our situation. I'm here to open the words of God for you to hear them, and I hope for you to come to understand what the God I serve wants to say to you today in your situation. For you to know God's love, God's comfort, and our Lord's peace. And we believe that what God tells us in His Word is true. I will mention Jesus as well. The Bible tells us that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus taught about God. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Heavenly Father." The Lord cares about us more than we realize. The Lord wants to be with us even when we are not sure that we want to be with Him. That is the love of God. The Lord is caring for you now. But one thing I want you to hear that so few people really hear, even people who have been members of churches for years, miss this truth. Our Lord wants something for you. Most people think God wants something from you. Most people think God wants something from us. Our God wants something for you. The message of Easter morning proves my point, and we will get to that, but let me tell you about a young woman who had never heard the story of Jesus. When she was told, this young adult said, "That is the most beautiful story I have ever heard." And I would add to that by saying, not only is this the most beautiful story ever told, it is all true. The beautiful story is all true, every word of it. Our God, and if you claim Him, God is your God, our God so loved us that He handed over His Son Jesus so that Jesus' sacrifice would bring us a new way to live, a better way to live. This was Jesus' first public message. Jesus read from the Bible, from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Jesus began His public career saying, "I have come to proclaim freedom and recovery of sight and to set the oppressed free." And Jesus added, "This all starts today. Today is the day." You might not be sure this proclamation applies to you, but it does. Most of us are prisoners in one way or another. Prisoners of our own bad habits. Jesus can set us free from those. Jesus wants to set us free from that prison. Some of us have created our own prisons. Jesus wants to set us free from those. Habits are not only what we do. Habits can be the way we think. Not all habits are helpful. Some of us can't see the forest for the trees. Jesus can heal our blindness. What did Jesus say? "You and I must remove the log from our own eyes before we can ever help someone who has a speck in their eye." Jesus wants to remove the log from our own eye. Jesus will help us. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus didn't heal real blindness or leprosy or mental illness or physical handicaps or sensory impediments. Jesus healed those. He really did. As a matter of fact, what was so marvelous about Jesus is that Jesus wasn't a specialist. Jesus healed them all. Jesus healed whatever people brought to Him. Why? Because Jesus wants you and I to have life and have it in abundance. Here at Daleville Christian Church, we've spent this entire season before Easter talking about Jesus coming into this world to change things. To change things for the better. It's often said of us humans that we don't like change. Really? My experience is that most of us want to change things for the better. Jesus did that, and Jesus is still doing that. Now, another question we have asked in this season is this: who's going to pay for all this? Good question. You know, Jesus never took any money for anything He did. Jesus did all those good things for free. That is the love and generosity of our God. Free stuff, every day, all the time. Even if you are a bad person, your fields and gardens also get rain, no exceptions. But who's going to pay for all this? Because there is evil in the world. If you don't think the world is screwed up, you just have not been paying attention. The world is messed up, and media keep us informed of it every day. So who's going to pay to get this world fixed? And God said, "I will." And so God sent His Son Jesus to start this world repair. Now, Jesus didn't come to change all things in His earthly lifetime, but Jesus changed the most fundamental problem humanity had. Jesus changed the relationship humans had with their God, their Creator. For you see, I also believe that everyone has a relationship with God, but there are only two choices. It's a good relationship or a bad relationship. The relationship is either positive or negative, and before Jesus, at least theologically, we say that everyone had a negative relationship with God. People were not relating to God the way God wanted people to relate to Him. People were trapped in old patterns based on the temple and animal sacrifice. Jesus came to fulfill what the prophets had called a new covenant, a new agreement. The new agreement was going to fulfill the old ways of relating to God, and it wasn't going to cost the people anything. The old agreement with God, the old covenant was going to be fulfilled, and God Himself was going to do this thing out of grace, out of mercy, and God's own sacrifice of this Jesus, who would Himself become the new relationship with God. And that means two things. First of all, people can change, or more accurately, our God changes people. I believe that. I read it in the Bible, and I've seen it in my lifetime and in my life. But secondly, I read it in the Bible that Jesus came to us to change things. I read Jesus changing people, and I see Jesus changing people's situations today. The blind see, the lame walk, the poor have good news preached to them. Those who lived in darkness are brought into the light. But those two beliefs bring me to the third belief, that Jesus is not just someone who lived a long time ago. Jesus is alive and at work in our world today. And therefore, I'm a believer that things are going to get better. The Holy Spirit, through Jesus, is at work today. Jesus said at that dinner table so long ago, He lifted up a loaf of bread, and Jesus lifted up a goblet, and Jesus said, "This is my body and blood, poured out for you, broken for you, for the forgiveness of sins." A new agreement, a new covenant. So the Lord can change things for the better. The Lord can change us for the better. So we can receive what the Lord wants us to have. Life, better life. A life with God that starts now in this life and goes on forever. And Easter is the proof. Easter, the proof that Jesus is who Jesus says He is, and that Jesus will do what Jesus says He will do, and that our God will do what God says He will do, a new life. Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus was barely recognizable, the Bible says, because He was not resuscitated. And we have people in our hospitals today that are resuscitated. Jesus was resurrected, not resuscitated. Jesus had a new life and would never die again. Jesus raised that guy named Lazarus. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but Lazarus is going to die again later, a natural human death. But Jesus was resurrected by God Himself. We've said it in our statements of faith before. He gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. The Lord Himself is paying for our renovation, a new people, a new way to be human. People who are forgiven, redeemed, people who are free to be the people God created them to be, the Bible calls it new creations. Old Bibles call it being a new creature. Back when people had CB radios, citizen band radios in their vehicles, because we didn't have cell phones back then. One of my drivers, a fellow seminary student, was driving four of us to a conference, and he got on his CB radio. He talked to some trucker, and my driver said there were four preachers in the car. And the trucker answered back, "Did you say there were four creatures in your car?" I said, "Yes, you're exactly right, four creatures." New creatures in Christ. Victor Marx is a man who works with troubled youth. I've spoken of him before. Victor Marx speaks the language of troubled youth because Victor Marx is a survivor of an abusive childhood. Many people in our jails, prisons, and court systems experienced abuse as children. That's a statistical fact. And I remind you that there is all kinds of abuse. Several kinds of abuse leave no marks on the abused person. Let me close with some of Victor Marx's testimony. Victor Marx was abandoned by his birth father and abused and neglected by his mother and stepfathers. The high school he didn't graduate from was his 14th school. However, Victor Marx was so much trouble to his school that although he didn't have enough credits to graduate, the principal gave Victor a graduation certificate on the condition that Victor never come back to that school. That's pretty bad. Fortunately for Victor, Jesus was always in Victor's peripheral vision. There were some church services that he went to. There were some speakers that he heard. There was a married couple that kind of took him under their wing. And finally, a friend in the Marines who was true to the Lord. And so when the Lord spoke, Victor knew it was the Lord Jesus. Victor Marx responded to the Lord and has followed him ever since. What I appreciate most about Victor Marx is that even though the Lord touched his life dramatically, Victor Marx had to work through all the abuse he received. And Victor Marx had to do it the old-fashioned way. Therapy. Months of therapy. For a while, he went to therapy more than once a day. It wasn't that Victor didn't have enough faith. All the therapy was required for the amount of abuse that he had received. Victor might have learned to cope with living, but he needed to learn to love and live as Christ wanted him to. Victor Marx was restored to be the man Christ wanted him to be. Victor Marx was redeemed to be the man Christ wanted him to be. Victor Marx was renovated to be the man Christ wanted him to be. Here's what Victor Marx wrote. God is ready and eager to heal you and restore you. He can tenderly pick up the broken pieces of your life bit by bit and reshape them into beauty and strength. This is God's desire for you, my friend. Don't be discouraged if your restoration looks hopeless. Let me read that again. Don't be discouraged if your restoration looks hopeless. It took me a while to come to this place of healing. But I can say without a doubt, Jesus wants to do the same for you. These are the words of Victor Marx. Jesus wants to do the same for you. Listen to our Lord's beautiful words of encouragement for me and for you. And he's quoting Isaiah 61 and also Luke chapter 4. Let me just read those verses to you. From Isaiah chapter 61, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Binding up is a bandage. A bandage so healing can take place. "He has sent me to bind up, to bandage the brokenhearted, so healing can take place. To proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. To comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve." Jesus is talking to us about us. Victor Marx says, "God is in the habit of bringing joy and comfort and beauty." These are the same words Jesus himself would state and quote in his first sermon from Isaiah chapter 61. "To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness, May this be a blessed Easter for you. Better than ever, because that is what our Lord wants for you.